following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Excuse me, sir.
Hi, what do you need?
Pants and a 44 waist.
Looking for something lace?
No, a 44 waist.
A shoelace?
I need a 44 waist.
We don't carry that size.
What? I want a prize?
No.
Stop shopping in no man's land. There's a better way for bigger men to find clothes. Now open. Visit DestinationXL.com to find a store near you. Destination XL, big on being better.
As an Orkin man, I carry a moisture meter. It's not a slick Wi-Fi-enabled touchscreen supercomputer, but it can tell me where termites are most likely to settle down and raise a family of a few hundred thousand. It's just one of the tools I use to create a customized plan for any home. No kids ever ask for a moisture meter for his birthday, but you'll be glad when I show up with mine. Orkin, pest control down to a science. For a free inspection, visit OrkinMan.com.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sippel, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Hope you all had a very safe and happy Memorial Day weekend. And glad to have you back with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Tuesday. We're going to talk a lot about what happened over the weekend. We'll also be talking a little Shrine Bowl later on in the program today. And we're going to catch up with some college baseball, as we will be talking with Phil Stanton of CollegeBaseballInsider.com about the Field of 64 and the teams that are going to the NCAA baseball tournament in Omaha. Jimmy, how are you? Looks like we all made it through.
Yes, we did.
That's a good thing.
Husker women had a big win at Oregon, and Husker men played really well all week and just a little short.
Yeah, that's where there's a lot of talk out there. Let's start with Nebraska baseball. Did they play well? A. Did they play as good as their talent level is? Which it could be two different things. And where do you think Nebraska baseball is right now? Definitely disappointing when you look back and see that it was 2 1-run losses in the ninth inning in this tournament. So from that standpoint, you'd have to say that they were as competitive and played as well as anybody else in the tournament. But then when I see that Illinois got in, I've got questions about why Illinois is in when they were what, the 4 seed, the 5 seed in the conference tournament?
Well, you know, that was one of the probably unfair things about the NCAA making a rule where you had to be at least 500 to get into the tournament, because it discouraged maybe, because Nebraska plays a pretty good schedule. You know, they go to California, they go down south. I have no idea who Illinois played. I mean, I have no idea how to compare it or anything. But, you know, that was just kind of a tough thing when it said. But again, you know, a lot of other teams in the Southeastern Conference that are below 500, I know they played a tough schedule too.
Well, Nebraska had the toughest RPI or the best RPI out of any team that didn't get in. And, You look at all those one-run games, Jimmy. If they were 30-29 instead of 29-30, do you think they would have got in?
Yeah, I do. I think the rule hurt. I think the rule actually hurt them, and especially the way they played in that tournament. Because if you were going to take, if the NCAA just said, "Hey, let's take the top two teams, May 25th in the Big Ten," you would take the team that did what Nebraska did in that tournament. They would be the second choice, wouldn't you think? I mean, if you were gonna, if you, unless somebody went 50-10 or something like that.
Yeah. Well, Michigan State apparently was the last team out of the tournament, so. They didn't even make the Big Ten tournament. So I have to figure, Big Ten is supposed to be a weaker conference, and then a couple of teams get in that you just shake your head at and go, well, why was that? And maybe we just haven't delved into it deep enough to find out. But teams that didn't do so well in the Big Ten conference did a little bit better in the regular season. So I guess we'll, in the non-conference portion of the season.
How about the women's softball team? You know, that was a very impressive to go into Oregon and do what they did. I mean, that was a big win. And, you know, if you look at the softball tournament, all of the national seeds actually won except for the two teams that are going to be playing. Yeah.
Nebraska and Washington. And very key what happened in between. Because Nebraska got that big win on Saturday, then they come back on Sunday, and it goes 11 innings, 7-inning ball games, but they go multiple extra innings, and then on their home turf, Oregon gets the win, the crowd's behind them, everything is behind them, they have to turn around and play right away again, and Nebraska is key, they put up two runs in the top of the first inning, because Oregon gets two in the bottom of the first, and then that was the end of the scoring for them. But to get on the board in the first inning of that last game, maybe just kind of took some of that momentum away from Oregon and showed Nebraska a little bit, hey, we're okay, we're here to compete, we've got a chance in this one.
Yeah, I don't. It would have been a really disappointing for Nebraska to lose because I think they outplayed Oregon in that series, you know, like you said, they played 25 innings, and Nebraska led throughout most of that. And the one game that was extremely close, and they're all close in softball usually, but the game that was extremely close, they lost.
Nebraska will play Washington Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Tennessee and Florida are on their side of the bracket. It's just like baseball when you get to the College World Series. You've got eight teams, but basically you're only going to see a couple of them until you get to the finals because you double eliminate in four-team brackets. On the other side, Texas plays Arizona State, and Michigan will take on Oklahoma. So you're right, Nebraska probably gets as good a draw as they could get. They went out, and they beat the Pac-12 champion. Now they're playing another team out of the Pac-12. You almost would have to think that Nebraska is favored in this because the Huskers will go with Tatum Edwards, who is the conference pitcher of the year, and Oregon had the conference pitcher of the year in the Pac-12, and Nebraska beat her. So the Huskers look like they've got a very good draw, and it's double elimination. So if they could beat Washington, then they'd play again at 6 o'clock on Friday night. The game on Thursday will be on ESPN2. But again, you got to take advantage of favorable draws when you're not that national power. There are different sports. When you're not a national power, you got to get a favorable draw if you do take advantage of it.
Yes, that is exactly right. It'd be interesting that the Nebraska-Washington winner, you know, in softball, I know they don't, it's not like baseball where, you know, the pitcher pitches and he's done for a while. A lot of times you'll see the same person maybe quite often again. But it'll be interesting to see because Tennessee and Florida, you know they're going to go after each other that first game, you know, really hard and get after it. And, you know, whoever wins that Nebraska-Washington game, that maybe could pull off that upset in the second round. Yeah.
Yeah, SEC rivals between Tennessee and Florida, so you know that they have known each other. They know a lot about each other, and they will battle in the second game. Those are the afternoon games, and then the other bracket will be the evening games on Thursday.
Hey, you know, real quick on baseball, too, while you're talking about it, I just looked at the bracket real fast, and man, you were right, Doug, about one thing when you're talking about the Big Ten. Look at how many schools are south. I mean, in the southern part of the United States in baseball. You know, and I think that's something maybe we just don't understand, what the advantage that is. You know, where, you know, golf and baseball seem to have, you know, a huge advantage in the southern area. And how many teams are down there? It's just amazing when I look at that. You know, there's that bracket in California where UCLA, San Diego State, San Diego, and Cal Poly are in. But other than that, I mean, it looks like, you know, there's somebody in the south that could come out of about every bracket.
And you look overall, I'm amazed Arizona doesn't get a chance to defend its national championship. They won it last year. Very solid tournament. So they are out. Miami extends their qualifying streak, I guess you would say. They've been in it 41 consecutive years now, and the SEC has 9 schools in, which is a record-tying number of any year. ACC has 8. The Pac-12 and the Sun Belt Conference have 4 schools in the NCAA baseball tournament. The Sun Belt, 4. The Big Ten, 2.
Hey, give me the Sun. Do you know what the Sun Belt? Do you have what the Sun Belt is? You don't have that information. Who are the Sun Belt team?
No, I did not memorize the members of the Sun Belt Conference. Are you kidding me?
Would that be something if we could do that?
Troy.
Name anybody in the Sun Belt Conference.
Let's see. Okay, yeah. Let me look down. Look down here. Let's see if I can get them all for you. I'm scrolling. Sun Belt Conference.
You know, I see Bryant's 44-16-1, Bryant University, and you know, I don't really know their nickname, to be honest with you. So,
I'm still looking for the first team that would come out of the bowl. No, Sun Belt Conference. There's Troy. Okay, I know they're in the Sun Belt. That's one. Man, I'm looking at all these, and I see one. So let's see. What else we got? I'm looking at the members right now. There's 4 out of the Sun Belt? I don't see 4 out of the Sun Belt in here. Guess I'll have to go deeper into the
We'll have to look that information up.
So, well, there you go. 2 out of the Big Ten. And the first-timers, Canisius, Bryant University, Central Arkansas, Savannah State, and South Dakota State. Bryant is going in its first year in Division II of eligibility, and Mercer is a school. Let's see, were they the school that was about to have their program cut? No, Towson. Towson was a program that was about to have it cut, and they got a $300,000 injection for 2 years in state funding to keep their program alive, and now they're in the NCAA tournament. Florida Atlantic, Louisiana Lafayette, South Alabama, and Troy. Those are the 4 members of the Sun Belt Conference. And we'll talk with Phil Stanton of CollegeBaseballInsider.com about that coming up in just a few minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show as the road to Omaha begins. And we will have every game of the College World Series, as always, right here for you on ESPN 1460 and 1550. Things that happened over the weekend, the Indianapolis 500, Tony Kanaan, he finally won one. I didn't get to watch it, and that's okay. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, I missed it.
Doesn't bother me at all. NBA and NHL playoffs going on. Your thoughts on where we're at in the NBA? San Antonio's already there.
Yeah, San Antonio look good in their 2 road wins. You know, I just really enjoyed the sportsmanship after the game and during the game with those 2 teams. And, hey, you know, when they win 4 straight and, you know, they're going, hey, you know what, this team, we were lucky to win these. We had 2 games. We were just a couple plays better than you were. I mean, that's a lot nicer to say than running around and celebrating for somebody else's gymnasium.
Well, the championships continue tonight with Miami at Indiana, Game 4. Pregame at 6:30, tip-off at 7:30, right here on ESPN Radio. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, Chrysler, Midway, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, every kind of a vehicle that you would want, they have on their lot. With all new vehicles, customers currently receive a 1.9% for 72 months deal with approved credit on all new Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. They are the only dealer around that is doing that. And, of course, they have the triple threat going on right now. Pre-owned vehicles, customers can receive the Midway discount as always. You can check out their entire inventory online. They had a great weekend, and they've got more new and more pre-owned vehicles coming on the lot. Andy has, we chatted with him last week. He was so fired up about more of the great pre-owned vehicles that they're bringing on the lot. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and you can go online to thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. We're back after this.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill in Hastings. We know what season is here, grilling season. We also know you need to give your grill a break sometimes. I suggest you do that on Mondays and Tuesdays when all kids' meals are just $1.99. Hey, we're not talking fast food here, real burgers. We're just trying to do your grill a favor at HK Sports Bar and Grill, where our grill is bigger than your dad's.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Nebraska's top graduating senior high school football players from the North and South meet Saturday for the 55th time.
This year, for the first time in Kearney, at the Ron and Carol Cope Stadium on the UNK campus. Follow the action on Classic Hits 98.9 FM with a 1:45 pregame and 2 p.m. kickoff. Broadcast presented by Kappa, taking pride in doing what they can to make it easier, faster, and more profitable for you. The Shrine Bowl, Saturday. Also streaming live statewide on your smartphone and ClassicHits989.com.
Partly to mostly sunny skies and gusty winds today. Highs will top out near 84 degrees. And tonight, areas of showers and storms develop. Lows drop to near 63. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm Phil Jensko. Right now, it's 66.
Work it, make it, do it. Makes us older, better, faster, stronger.
That don't kill me. Can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up, man. Cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now. Cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night now. That's how long I've been on ya.
I need you right now. I need you right now.
Let's get lost tonight.
With Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us here on the program. We're going to talk college baseball with Phil Stanton of CollegeBaseballInsider.com here in just a little bit. Tomorrow, Steve Pivovar from the Omaha World Herald will give us his selections, which he made today in the World Herald. You can check those out, and we'll talk about his side as well. See what he's got to say. Shrine Bowl is this Saturday. You'll be able to hear it on our sister station, Classic Hits 98.9 FM, and also at PlatteRiverPreps.com, KKPR.com. Well, it was a long weekend. Whether you're working, whether you're playing, it's time for a chance to maybe sit back and relax a little bit now that everybody's up and gone and you can relax at home, or maybe you're just back from being on the road this weekend. It's about to you at Bruce Furniture since 1977. Holdridge, Hastings, Kearney, Alliance. Get a hold of them at Bruce Furniture and take care of everything you need. Maybe it's time to move out what you had and move something in. Maybe you got an end table busted over the weekend. Maybe there's some carpeting you need to look at. Maybe you just need to work on a few items. Hey, Bruce Furniture is going to take care of you. Maybe you had a little wild time this weekend. They're going to be able to replace or trade out, get anything new you need at Bruce Furniture, where they have always taken care of their customers for 36 years. Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. A lot to have you. Glad to have you. It's a Tuesday. That seems like a Monday. I think everybody gets that logy feeling. You just assume it's Monday. Does that make it a good thing? Short week?
Yeah, I think, you know, Tuesday through Friday's long enough.
We should have that every week.
Yeah, we just go 6 days.
I know some people that do have just a kind of a Tuesday through Friday gig.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad idea. I mean, I don't know. You know, you could go with the philosophy, you know, you work a little less, have a little less, you know.
Doug and Daddy's Show with Doug Duda and Jim Langan here on this Tuesday edition, and the field of 64 is now set, trying to make the eight that will be coming to Omaha. And we are pleased to welcome to the program from CollegeBaseballInsider.com, Phil Stanton, to join us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Phil, how are you this morning? Evidently, we lost Phil, so we'll try and re-grab Phil here from CollegeBaseballInsider.com to join us today on the Doug and Daddy Show, talk a little college baseball. But some familiar names in those top eight seeds: North Carolina, Vanderbilt, Oregon State, LSU, Cal State Fullerton, Virginia, Florida State, Oregon. There's nobody there that's crazy.
Yeah, those top eight seeds, that'd be a pretty good tournament, wouldn't it? Doug, you know, if you could just get those eight in. Hey, you know, I saw where San Diego and San Diego State are in for this at the same time ever, you know, that both of them got in. And it says where this one guy, I believe for San Diego or San Diego State, no, it is Chris Bryant, has 31 home runs. 31 dingers.
That's some pop in the bat, isn't it?
I mean, you know, that's about a home run every other game, you know what I mean? I mean, 31, that's, you know, that just seems like, I wonder what kind of field they play on. What's their field look like? How deep is it?
Yeah.
250 down the lines?
I have no idea. But he must have a pretty good pop in his bat, especially in this day and age. 31 back in the day would have been a heck of a season.
31?
I mean, back in Gorilla Ball, 31 would have been amazing. So, Amazing, amazing, amazing. But, yeah, we get to follow some storylines like that throughout the College World Series process, which makes it fun. You get to see some teams out there you've never heard of. You never know when a Stony Brook's going to come out of nowhere and shock the world and make it to Omaha. And you never know when one of these powerhouses or a kid like that has 31 home runs that you're going to get to see on TV.
Hey, Bryant University, I hope this wasn't the question we're going to ask for like $200, from Smithfield, Rhode Island. From Smithfield. You know, Rhode Island's not a very big state. I mean, you could actually jog across it. You know what I mean?
I don't want to.
No, but I mean, you could do it. I mean, you know, easily with a bike. I think it's like 40 miles by 22 or something like that. That's not very big. But, you know, where's Smithfield, Rhode Island? I wonder where that's at. Good question, though.
Somewhere near Providence, don't you think?
Yeah, we'll find out if they win the tournament.
Yeah, if they can keep competing and get some things going, they'll be right where they need to be. Hey, folks, let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Over the holiday weekend, it was, what is your favorite kickoff time for a college football game, afternoon, evening, or morning? Well, 46% are with us. They like the afternoon. 38% like the evening. Only 15% like those morning games. And our poll question today, was the Nebraska baseball season a success? You can vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Was the Nebraska baseball season a success? I hate to say no, but I think by Nebraska standards, by Darren Erstand standards, he would say no. They did not make a regional.
Yeah, I think, boy, that's really tough. But like you say, that's got to be the goal. Whether you're a one seed, two seed, three seed, or four seed, that probably doesn't matter. You know, winning the conference tournament probably was a goal they wanted to do. That was something they wanted to accomplish. And when you do that, then you also qualify.
Well, I think we've got our phone line situation cleared up here. So let's welcome in the co-founder and editor of CollegeBaseballInsider.com, Phil Stanton, to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda and Jim Langan. Phil, good morning. How are you?
Hi, gentlemen. I'm well. How are you?
Well, doing great. Thanks for giving us the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. It is the most exciting time in college baseball. The field has been released, and now we can start getting down to business. So let's just start off with that obvious question. What caught your eye when the field came out yesterday?
Well, the biggest thing, the one that we were most surprised of, was that Campbell didn't get in. They had a solid RPI. They were the regular season champ out of the Big South. They had 49 wins on the season, but the committee said that their non-conference strength of schedule was what pulled them down. So we were surprised at that. We were a little surprised William & Mary, San Francisco, UC Santa Barbara all got in, but it was kind of like the way the basketball tournament was this year. Those final maybe 6 to 8 teams that were on the bubble, you could make a case for each of them to be in, you could make a case for each of them to be out. So it was just a matter of how the committee was going to look at them.
Hey, that's a good point on Campbell. I didn't realize that, but you said they won 49 games. Is that correct, 49?
Yeah, they were 49-10, and they had an RPI of 41.
Unbelievable. I didn't know that. You know, if they won 39, they were 39-20. That's a whole different deal. But 49 games, you're exactly right.
What about Arizona staying out of the field? Is that the right thing?
I think it was. The Pac-12, it seemed to be kind of top-heavy this year with Oregon, Oregon State, UCLA, and Arizona State. Stanford and Arizona were both right there on the bubble and just didn't quite do enough. Neither of them had a strong enough RPI. And I know it probably really had to be tough for the NCAA not to have the defending champ in there. But when you just look at it from this year, I think that was the right call.
Hey, one other thing. In our area, one thing that kind of surprised me, Gene Stevenson's been at Wichita State a long time and does not have a contract, I guess, signed for next year. But, you know, they won the tournament, and they're playing at Manhattan. Kansas State finally gets to host something, and their first-round game is Wichita State. Now, I'm not 100% sure, but I would imagine that rivalry has just started if it hasn't started yet.
Oh, I think you're exactly right. And Wichita State played really, really well last week during the Missouri Valley tournament. So I think they're coming in with a lot of momentum. I think there's often a lot of pressure on those schools that host, because when you do host, everybody expects you to win. With Kansas State being their first time, they're going to have a lot of stuff to deal with that they haven't had to deal with before in being a host. So they've got to be careful that they don't let those off-the-field things distract them, because they are definitely going to have their hands full with Wichita State.
We're talking with Phil Stanton, collegebaseballinsider.com, here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Big Ten country only gets two in. Sun Belt Conference gets four in. The Big Ten is trying to say that they're getting better and they're trying to schedule tougher, but I am still a little shocked that Illinois is in the field along with Indiana instead of maybe a couple others. In fact, there was some talk that Michigan State might have been one of the first teams left out, and they didn't even make the Big Ten tournament. What do you make of all that Big Ten teams in and out?
Yeah, they. According to the chairman of the committee yesterday, he said Michigan State was the first team that was out, and that surprised us. But they did a lot of things based on RPI, and in looking at the RPI, Illinois was the second best in the Big Ten. They had an RPI of 39. Michigan State was close behind at 46. I know. A lot of people thought that Ohio State had a really good chance to get in. They scheduled really well, especially during the month of May. I know they had a two-game series with Georgia Tech, a three-game series with Oregon. Unfortunately, they just didn't win some of those games. So I think had they gotten another win or two, or possibly had they tied for the regular season championship, I think they would have had a shot. But I think it is improvement. I think there were, you had three teams that didn't get in that I think were being considered right up till the end. So I think there's progress there. So I think now with the new facilities that are in the league, I think I think things look really, really good in the future for the Big Ten.
You know, when I looked at it, and I gave you my four seed, the Wichita State that I thought had a chance to win it. When I looked at the three seeds, I looked at Florida. Even though they're 29 and 28, I think, Florida's a three seed looked like their area. They're playing Indiana, Valparaiso, and Austin Peay, that they could be a surprise team as a three seed. Do you agree, or do you have somebody else that you like as a three seed?
Well, I think they've definitely got a shot. They haven't played real, real well in the month of May. They're only 4-8 in May, and they were an early exit out of the SEC tournament. But they played the second toughest schedule next to Miami this year. So they are battle-tested. Indiana is another team that they're hosting for the first time, so this is all new to them. Austin Peay is really tough. They've built a really good program in recent years, so I don't think they're going to be phased at all going up against Florida, so they're going to be a tough one in there too. I think probably the strongest three is looking down in Starkville with Mercer. We were surprised to hear yesterday that the chairman of the committee said that Mercer was the last team in, and I think most people felt like they were a pretty solid two seed. So I think they're one that could possibly do some damage down there in Starkville. And that's, I think, the toughest regional of all of them, because Central Arkansas is the four, and they could have been a three as well. So those three fours down there may be underseeded a bit.
Talking with Phil Stanton of collegebaseballinsider.com here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. You may have just answered my question. Who is this year's Stony Brook? Is it them, or is there another team out there that Bryant, they're going to talk about them coming up from Division II in their first year of eligibility? Towson is a school that almost lost their baseball program. Who could be talented enough that nobody's ever heard of?
I think it might be Central Arkansas. I think they played really, really well in the Southland tournament. I don't know that there's any teams that have any of the three, four seeds that have the veteran returnees like Stony Brook and Kent State had a year ago. So I'm not sure that we're going to see that this year. But Central Arkansas is one. Mercer's one too. Also that. It wouldn't surprise me for one of those two, to be able to make their way through. And then if they do, they're matched up with the Virginia regional, so they may get to go up to Charlottesville. So I think one of those two might be the most likely to be able to get through.
Well, let's talk about the big boys now. North Carolina is not the number one ranked team in the country. Many people believed Vanderbilt would be the number one seed. In the grand scheme of things, to me, it doesn't matter if you're the 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, you're thrown on one side of the bracket and you go. Any surprises in those top eight seeds?
Not really surprises. I know there was a lot of discussion about the bottom two. I think everybody felt pretty sure about who the top six were going to be. There was a lot of discussion about Florida State, North Carolina State, and Oregon. I don't think the committee really wanted to have four ACC teams as national seeds. I think Florida State stumbled a little bit at the end, but they did win their division. So I think what they did through the season gave them a little bit of an edge over NC State. So they went in as the seven spot, and then Oregon coming in at number eight. And then Oregon gets matched up with the Raleigh Regional. So potentially you could have NC State going out there to play Oregon. But I felt like that was a very representative eight for the national seeds.
Yeah, when I looked that over, I was kind of surprised, but not dumbfounded, because I don't know how it works. But you're right. When you had Oregon's and Rice are the one and two seeds, and boy, when I look at that, I think one of those two is going to win that one, because you got San Diego State and San Francisco trying to win that. And, you know, San Diego State wins that. I mean, what a surprise that would be.
Must have lost Phil again, so we apologize for that. Good stuff with Phil Stanton from CollegeBaseballInsider.com. Talking a little college baseball, I think he covered pretty much every question that we had. That was about ready to wrap things up there with Phil. But it'll be interesting. I think there's some pretty good balance this year, Jimmy, about who's in there. And if they're discussing 10 to 12 teams to be national seeds, if you've got some new blood in there, I think this sets up to be a really good College World Series. And I think you're also pretty much guaranteed that some national perennial powers will be in Omaha.
Yeah, and you know, and I actually think how the tournament's played kind of helps the seeding for the next year. You know, I mean, you know, if the Big Ten does well, they might take more teams out of it. If the Southeastern Conference continues to do well, they're going to continue to get 8 or 9 teams.
Well, Phil, we were just getting ready to wrap things up, but I just wanted your opinion. Who do you think is the best baseball team in the country, and who are you pretty sure, maybe 2 or 3 teams that you're just pretty darn sure are going to be in Omaha?
Well, I think the three that have really separated themselves all year have been North Carolina, Vanderbilt, and LSU. So it wouldn't surprise me for any of those three. And all of them have stubbed their toe a little bit here of late, but I think North Carolina may be the most balanced amongst those three. So I think I would give them just a slight edge over Vanderbilt and LSU.
All righty, Phil, we'll let you get back to work. Thanks for taking some time to be with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Apologize for the phone line problem, but we hope you enjoy the tournament, and hopefully we can catch up again sometime.
All right, that sounds great. I hope you guys enjoy the games this weekend as well.
It'll be great. Phil Stanton, thank you so much. Check it out, and you can follow them along at CollegeBaseballInsider.com. CollegeBaseballInsider.com. Should be a great College World Series. We're going to get to talk a whole lot more about it throughout the week. But when we come back, Bill Carlin, Adams Central head football coach and a head coach in the Shrine Bowl, is going to join us from camp right after this.
Golfsmith and TaylorMade want to help you give Dad the best Father's Day ever with exclusive deals on the hottest gear in golf. Give the game-changing TaylorMade R1 driver and get $50 instant savings, plus a $25 Golfsmith gift card. Save $100 instantly on any 8-piece Rocket Blades iron set and score a $50 Golfsmith gift card, because the gift that never stops giving is a better game. Give Dad his day, only at Golfsmith.
Hi, it's Mike, founder of DollarShaveClub.com, here with my dad for Father's Day. Dad, what was the most useless gift you ever got for Father's Day?
You.
No, come on, seriously.
That drawing you made of the family.
Okay. Anyway, this Father's Day, give Dad something he'll really use, a DollarShaveClub.com gift card. Give him the gift of never having to overpay for razors again and never having to go to the store to buy them. Shave time, shave money, DollarShaveClub.com. That's DollarShaveClub.com.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, Just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Partly to mostly sunny skies and gusty winds today. Highs will top out near 84 degrees. And tonight, areas of showers and storms develop. Lows drop to near 63. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm Phil Jensko. Right now, it's 66.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Tuesday. Doug, good to Jim Langan with you as the month of May is winding down. And maybe it's time to just relax a little bit with a lunch special today at the Chicken Coop in Grand Island or Kearney, which is a dollar off any salad on the menu. They're oh so good. You can get the chicken salad, get a little flavored, just like a boneless wing, just like a bone-in wing. You can get any of those wing flavors on your chicken salad or taco salad, whatever it is, salad you want today. It's a dollar off. They're open 7 days a week to take care of you. And don't forget happy hour every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 5:30. And with college baseball and college softball on all morning, all afternoon, all evening, you can watch any game you want. And they're a little sad that Stony Brook is not back because they are the official home, the official sports bar in Nebraska of Stony Brook. But they're just not there this year. So pick a new team and enjoy it all at the Chicken Coop. And on Tuesday nights, it's Wing Basket Night. Every Tuesday night for just $5, you get a basket of 10 flame-broiled wings with your choice for over a dozen wing flavors. Every Tuesday night, get them like you like for only $5 at the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, joined now by the head coach of the South team for this Saturday's Shrine Bowl, which will be played for the first time ever at Foster Field here in Kearney. And, of course, the longtime head coach at Adams Central, Bill Carlin, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Doug. Just fine. Thank you.
Well, it looks like half the practices are already in the book, so I think you might have a good assessment of where your team is right now. But let's start with some housekeeping things. Is everybody there? Is everybody healthy? Have you had any changes? What's the roster looking like?
It's pretty much as we had planned coming in. One boy, Bryce Sinowski from Millard South, was unable to come in, and so we replaced him with Austin Taylor from York. And other than that, we got everybody else that we had planned on or invited. And so everybody's in pretty good health. Got a few bumps and bruises and a few sore legs trying to get in shape again for football and that sort of contact stuff. But otherwise, it's going pretty well.
Got a lot of great kids, obviously. Hopefully the best in the state. They're going to be competing in this ball game. Take me through where you are halfway through your practices. This is where you really kind of install everything, see where everybody's going to play. You go to the hospital tomorrow and then kind of go through the motions, try and get everything shored up by the end of the week. So where do you think you're at right now?
Well, we pretty much have all of our offense and defense installed. Our special teams are pretty well set up, and so we scrimmaged a little bit yesterday, ran about 30 plays and filmed them and took a look at ourselves at what we can do well and what we need to improve on. So I feel we're off to a good start. We're getting, we came in with a pretty good-sized play package, and then we're whittling it down to fit the strengths of our players. So we feel good about where we're at right now.
Hey, this is Jim Langan here. I see some players. You got two kids from Adams Central, Jess Ackerman and Jake Fowler, and there's two from Kearney High, Jackson Gannon, Luke McNitt, two from Kearney Catholic, Alex Lowe and David Squires, and then we've got Tyler Schnitzler from Kennesaw, assistant coaches, Craig Schnitzler and Dave Collins. So that area with you, we've really got quite a few players in this area.
We really do. We're very blessed to have some real talent in our area this year, and those kids deserve every bit of the playing that they're getting this week. And it's a great honor as a coach. Obviously, I look at it as very few get the opportunity to do what we do. And then to be honored by this is just very humbling. So our kids and our coaches are very happy to be here. They're excited about the opportunity.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about those kids, and we'll kind of get to how things are shaking down for the rest of the team here. Any surprises so far from these guys? I mean, some of them are just like Luke McNitt coming off an outstanding state track meet and track season, and some of the other kids have done some great things getting ready for their college careers.
Yeah, they really are. You know, we're going to play the two Kearney High boys on offense to start out anyway. Luke's going to play the quarterback, him and D. Jackson out of Lincoln Southeast. They're both very similar in their abilities. They both can run the ball very well, throw it very well. Luke's a little bit bigger, and Najee's maybe a little faster, but they both are great weapons for us. Jackson is playing at tackle for us on offense and has done a nice job for us there. Jess Ackerman is going to play some linebacker, and Jake Fowler is going to play running back for us. So the Adams Central boys, we kind of split up, and then the two Kearney Catholic kids were playing David Squires at defensive tackle and Alex Lowe at linebacker. So they're going to get their chance on that side. And then Tyler Snitzler is playing some defensive back for us. We also have Tyler Rebarger from Hastings High that was a replacement player as we got going, and he's playing some wide receiver for us. So we have some kids there that are very skilled. I mean, great talent. So we're very fortunate to have them.
Well, let's talk about the kids overall. They always want to know how the non-Class A guys mesh with the Class A guys. Have they been going okay so far?
I tell you what, these guys are having a great time. Our camp has been tremendous. They're I have no doubt in my mind some of these guys are making lifelong friends here this week. So our camp has gone great. The kids have meshed really well. The camaraderie has been tremendous. And so we have a great camp going right now, and you know, the idea of raising awareness for the Shriners and the children's hospitals and playing this game to help them raise some money is the big part of the picture. Win or lose, these kids are going to come out of this game with some lifelong friendships, I think. So we're pretty excited about the way they've meshed and blended, and couldn't be happier.
Yeah, Bill, you know, that's one thing about it really is all about social skills. I mean, that's the number one thing why we have sports and athletics anyway, is the positive social skills that we can bring out. And I'm sure congratulations to you as getting the head coach honor, too. You've done a lot for Adams Central over your years, and all your assistant coaches, too.
Well, I got a great coaching staff at home, and I got a great coaching staff here. And so I'm very fortunate, I feel, to be where I'm at. And the kids, you know, they do all the work for it. We try to get them lined up and let them play and keep them organized. And I guess that's my job today, to get them organized. And so, you know, I feel very lucky to be here. It's, like I said, a humbling experience for me. And, you know, so I feel very blessed for this.
Bill Carlin joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, head coach of the South and at Adams Central High School for the Shrine Bowl coming up this Saturday. Bill, as we talk to you on this Tuesday, Wednesday will be your trip to the hospital. Of course, to be a head coach, you've had to be an assistant coach, so you've been through this process before. And all the times we talk to the head coaches, the first time is that eye-opener, and then they watch all the guys get their eyes open when they go for the first time. What do you tell the kids as they prepare for tomorrow's trip, and what are you expecting from that trip?
We just got done with practice this morning just a little bit ago, and, you know, the kids all have sore legs, and their hamstrings are tight, and they're not used to being in a blocking and tackling position, so their legs are sore and stuff. We said, you guys are and kind of talking how your legs are sore, you're going to go see some kids who sometimes maybe might not even be able to walk or run and see how fortunate you really are. So I think they see the big picture of this also. And so I always look at this game as obviously there's the football game itself. There's a chance for these kids to make friends and do that sort of thing and have the social thing with their teammates. And then there's obviously the reason for the game is the Shriners Hospital and raise some funds to help them make awareness of what they do, and maybe somebody else will make a big donation to them, because there's 22 Shriner hospitals out there that help our kids out, and anything we can do to help them is a benefit then.
And, Bill, let's get down before we let you go here to the X's and O's of the game. What are we going to see from the South, and what are you expecting to see from the North?
Well, they got some great big old linemen over there, and Waverly Mike likes to run the wishbone. They got the Ockery kid from Millard North, who is a great option quarterback. So we think we're going to see some wishbone and option out of them. We think the Martin kid that played for his dad at Omaha North can really throw the football. So we also think we'll see some spread, and they'll wing it around a little bit. By rules, everybody has to play a 4-3 defense, but you can kind of jockey people around a little bit to kind of gain an advantage versus different formations. But defense is pretty much set up. We're going to run a lot of our stuff that we did at Adams Central. A little bit of Maryland I, but not very much of that, more short yardage, but some pro sets and some spread sets. We're getting some 2x2 and 3x3 spread and throw the ball around a little bit and use the skill these kids have.
I'll bet those kids are going to learn that fullback trap. If they haven't got it down, they're going to get it on the way.
We might throw a little power at them every once in a while and do a little kick-out block with our fullback and run behind our pads a little bit, yeah.
All right, Bill. We want you to have another safe week for the practices that are left. Enjoy the trip to the hospital, and we'll see you Saturday at the first Shrine Bowl to be played at Foster Field in Kearney. Thanks for the time.
You bet, Doug. Thanks, Jim. See you guys.
You bet. Take care.
Take care. Bill Carlin, head football coach, Adams Central. This year, he's the head coach of the South team for the Shrine Bowl. Quite an honor. Our pregame is at 1:30. Kickoff is set for 2 o'clock coming up on Saturday. We will talk with the head coach of the North team, Mike Johnson, later on this week. They should be making their trip to the hospital as well. But, of course, the Grand Island kids, Riley Shoemaker, Jacob Cornelius, playing on the North. Devin Kronk from Ord is also on that ball club. But you got your Josh Banderas's and your Tradion Hollins and your kids like that are playing for the South. So there's just so much talent that is on both of the rosters this year. It should be amazing. Nick DeLuca and Isaac Ockery playing for the North. There's some great kids out there this year.
You know, I'm glad Kearney's hosting the thing. You know, they've done a really good job with this six-man football game, hosting that, and gives Kearney a chance to host again. And Foster Field, what a great place to play.
Outstanding time, and let's give away some tickets to this Saturday's Shrine Bowl, brought to you in part by Five Points Bank. Let's get rid of some tickets at 888-455-ESPN. I've got a couple pair of tickets that we're going to give away here during the break, 888-455-3776. If you'd like tickets to the Shrine Bowl, you can call right now at 888-455-3776. We'll give them away to callers number 5 and 6, and we'll be right back.
Your buds ditched you again this weekend? It's okay, buddy. Cheer up and head over to Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's is a great hangout on the weekends to watch live entertainment, meet some new friends, and you know what? If you pick up your phone and text HAMS LIVE to the number 90210, that's HAMS LIVE, all one word, to 90210, Cunningham's will send you your first cover charge for free. Now go have some fun at Cunningham's, located on 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
Excuse me, sir.
Hi, what do you need?
Pants and a 44 waist.
Looking for something lace?
No, a 44 waist.
A shoelace?
I need a 44 waist.
We don't carry that size.
What? I won a prize?
No.
Stop shopping in no man's land. There's a better way for bigger men to find clothes. Now open. Visit DestinationXL.com to find a store near you. Destination XL, big on being better.
It's that time of year. Time for your backyard Father's Day graduation company party gathering. Celebrate with Subway Caters, featuring piled-high sandwich platters, quick and easy boxed meals, and custom-made giant subs that all your neighbor, dad, student, coworker guests will love. It's fast, easy, and affordable, with sandwich platters starting around $35. Just call 877-360-CATER or visit Subway.com. Subway, cater fresh.
May require 24-hour advance notice. Prices of participation may vary. Prices higher.
Inside a memory, you forgot about a destiny, you buried me.
Batty Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Congratulations to Cody and Carney and Todd in Minden. They have picked up tickets to Saturday's Shrine Bowl game. We're going to give away more tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. Join us all week long, and we'll be giving away tickets to the Shrine Bowl coming up this Saturday. Now, I just saw the headline in the Hub over the weekend. Again, being gone out of town, didn't see everything, but they're hoping for a sellout of the Shrine Bowl. And I don't even know how to even bring this up. What do you think? I don't know what they would consider a sellout.
Well, you know, one thing I just know that, you know, you're talking about things that other people are doing. Minden's got a girls basketball camp with 37 teams in it on Friday. You know, it's one of the best basketball camps around. People have other things they're doing. There's baseball going on. You know, they picked a really a time for these athletes where they, you know, when they go to college in August. A lot of these athletes are going to play college football. And they want those athletes ready to go, not playing in a Shrine game.
Yeah.
They want the university. So I think they moved the game up. But the time that they have it, a week after this Memorial Day weekend, you know, there's just so many other things people are doing. You know, what's your feeling on that? Am I completely off base on that?
No, they have to have it now.
Okay, and that's right. But there's other things that other people are doing that watch sports. You know, you only have so many fans that are going to continue to watch that.
I'm one of those guys that don't like sports messing with holidays on the high school level.
Okay.
I think the only thing is I wish it was next Saturday. I wish it was June 8th. Which I don't think would have been a problem for anybody, but it is what it is, and obviously it's not a problem for these guys. They get in, they go to camp. School basically just got out. For some of these guys, they're seniors, so they're going to have a little more time off because they get out. But for some of these coaches, they had to teach right up until maybe last Thursday, and then turn around, and Saturday they're at their respective camps, north or south, depending on which one you're at, and you have to be ready to go. And, of course, it's not 10 days like it used to be. I mean, you used to report the Thursday before, a week, you know, 10 days before, and now they reported on Saturday, so one full Saturday to Saturday. But you have to have it this early, and they have picked up some kids because of that. I think pretty much all the kids that you would want from the senior class this year will be playing.
Yeah, that's, you know, I guess the question I had thought you asked me was about the sellout. I mean, it's about getting people there.
There's always going to be something going on, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but in August, you know, the baseball season's over, everything's on. When they had that August 2nd, pretty much, you know, the only thing you had there was, you don't have those camps where the kids are going to camps. I just think in June you're going to have more kids participating in activities than you will in August. That August, they're getting ready for their high school. Yeah, one more week, and they're going to start their high school season.
Yeah, so... We'll see. Hopefully, folks go out and support the Shrine game this Saturday. All-state soccer was announced over the weekend. As expected, Grand Island was well represented on the first team, Lucas Venegas. Also, Kearney's Damian Austin on the second team, Jose Jacobo and Quinn Stoltz from Grand Island. In Class B, Eric Tinajero. I hope I got that right, Eric. Eric Tinajero of Lexington was on the second team. For the girls, we had a couple areas. Gals make the Class B second team, Marika Van Brock of Hastings and Jordan Heft of Holdridge were the All-State soccer players announced by the Omaha World Herald this past weekend. So we got all of that going on as well. Nebraska had numerous players make that All-Conference Tournament team, but it also brings the end to eight senior seasons, including Grand Island's Cash Kulkowski. Now we get ready for the Major League Baseball draft and see how many of these Huskers are actually selected. And again, Brian Wiest of UNK, he keeps getting picking up honors, and deservedly so, and he is the first Loper baseball player to earn multiple All-American honors since they joined Division II baseball. So congratulations to Brian Wiest, named a first-team All-American by Daytronics over the weekend. And we've talked with
Fine
Coach
honor.
About that. Outstanding. Here's some names for you, Jimmy.
Okay.
These are the Lopers that earned multiple All-American honors when they are NAIA. Scott Wilson, Todd Johnson, Dave Pratt, Rich Ozentoski. You might know a couple of them.
We sure do.
I thought you might know a couple of those.
What do you know about the UNKAD search? Anything about that? Do you know anything about that, Doug?
They're in that 30-day process of where they have to advertise it because it is a state employee position. And I don't expect to hear anything but rumors until that 30-day period is up.
Right. You know
what about you?
Well, you know, just when Nebraska, I'm just going back on Nebraska, it was interesting when University of Nebraska, when they needed an AD, you know, they Bob Devaney had some success, and they went with Bob Devaney right away. And it's just interesting to me, they do a national search on this when, you know, there might be people just in our own area. I mean, you look at a guy like Greg Shea, who's probably not even interested in the job, but we don't need a national search. We've got a guy like that that's really good at what he does, you know. And so it's just interesting to me that what we'll do and how national it really needs to be.
Well, we'll continue to keep our ears open and work with UNK and let you know more. Tomorrow will be our final Loper Link of this sports season. Don't forget, Monday is their annual Blue Gold Golf Tournament, and they still have a few slots available. So contact UNK's athletic office or go to lopers.com, see the entry form, and see all what's going on at Awori, Metal Ark Hills, and the Kearney Country Club on Monday. Also, Marissa Bongers was an All-American in track. She finished third in the 800 over the weekend, and Hastings College did a really, really good job at the NAIA National Track and Field meet last week in Marion, Indiana. Courtney Mills, freshman, third place in the triple jump. Abby Griffith was third in the shot, and her teammate Jennifer Mag was fourth. Griffith placed seventh as well in the hammer. Mag was fourth in the discus. Chance Armstead was sixth in the hammer, and Justin Roberts in the shot finished in eighth. He finished in the top eight, obviously, and you are an All-American. So congratulations to all of those Hastings College All-Americans. And again, Nebraskans always follow any sport, kind of like softball. Everybody started paying attention last week when they were in the Super Regional. Well, I think people were paying a little bit of attention to tennis over the weekend when Nebraska had their first ever player make the national championship match. Mary Weatherholt did get beat by defending NCAA champion Nicole Gibbs, 6-2, 6-4. She's out of Stanford, but what a season. 30-2 for Weatherholt. Combine that with her doubles mark. She went 52-5 this year. They made it to the quarterfinals of the doubles as well. So the two-time Big Ten Women's Tennis Athlete of the Year was the Nebraska Female Student Athlete of the Year across all sports. So what a career for Mary Weatherholt for the Big Red. And also, Nebraska Danger got it done on Friday night. They have clinched an IFL playoff berth. This is their off week. They'll be at Colorado Ice on the 8th. What was it like Friday since you were down there on the field?
Hey, it was 3-0 at the end of the first quarter, Doug. 3-0, and at the half, it was 31-30. So it went from 3-0 to 31-30. The last minute took about 40 minutes of actual time, you know, because they were scoring back and forth and the clock stops on a little different than it does in the last minute. But, Nebraska's got a good team. I mean, they are fun to watch, and there's a lot of scoring. And then Pump and Pantry gives a penny off for every point they score, you know. So they scored 69 points, so you got 69 cents off a gallon of gas, which, I mean, I guess I'm doing a little advertising for him. I wasn't trying to, but it's okay, I am. But what's interesting about that is I got one of those cards, and I felt good, and I only had to pay like $3.30 a gallon. I'm running around going, what am I doing here? You know, I'm happy that I'm paying, you know, $3.30-something for a gallon for gas. I thought, what's going on with my life here? I'm fighting off people. You know, isn't that something?
It is sad. Yeah. Here comes a caller had this question for you. Why do they call camps camps and not tournaments like they really are? Is it a loophole? Question for you.
Well, it's a question for me.
Yeah. And I mean, you're not the all-seeing knowing authority, but you are involved with a lot of these so-called camps. I get his question. I get what he means.
Yeah, I understand what he's doing. I think one thing they don't do is they don't, during the regular season, you get wild card points for your wins. You're not getting any wild card points for these games. You're not going to the state tournament. You know, you're just playing to try to get better. And I think sometimes, you sub in and you don't even, just like he said about the Shrine game, I would imagine all these kids are going to get to play. You kind of win by mistake sometimes in some of these things, you know. So I think kids are just trying to get better and to get something to do.
Let's do Troutman's Tuesday Trivia right now. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. A $25 gift card to Troutman's is on the line. If you've not won in the last 2 months, this is your opportunity to do so. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. If you are the first correct caller, get our answer, get our trivia question, we're going to give you a $25 gift card to Troutman's Quality Meats. And we got a few of them out here, you know. Well, it is what it is. We'll see. I said I was going to find a really, really hard one. So I think Jeffrey found us one, didn't you?
I think so, yeah.
2005, that was the last time Huskers were in, right?
Correct.
Okay. Let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
This is Dean.
Dean, in 2005, that was the last time Nebraska was in the College World Series. Nebraska had a player make the all-tournament team. Who was it?
Oh, I do not know, Douglas.
All right, try back, 888-455. The last Nebraska baseball player to make the all-tournament team in the College World Series. I have a feeling this is a tough one. Let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Bob from Kearney.
Bob from Kearney, who was the last Nebraska baseball player to be named to the all-tournament team in Omaha?
Say Curtis Ledbetter.
Not Curtis Ledbetter. Good guess. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. I am going to throw out one hint. Not a pitcher. So it's not like Jabba or Comine or any of the good ones that Nebraska had in the past. It is not a pitcher. Let's stay with the phone lines here for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
This is Mark.
Mark, who was the last Nebraska baseball player named to the all-tournament team at the College World Series?
Darren Erstad.
Not Darren Erstad. Poor Darren never made it. Keep it here. Let's keep going. Keep working. Keep trying to get a winner here for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Our question is, who was the last Nebraska baseball player to be named to the College World Series all-tournament team? What's your guess?
Hello?
Yeah, Doug and Daddy, what's your guess?
Jeff Gordon.
Not Jeff Gordon or Alex Gordon, but that's okay. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Alex Gordon, the only positive thing the Royals have going. 4-17. How's Ned Yost have a job? Good God. 4-17.
You ready to fire Ned Yost now?
I didn't like the hire when they got him in. I'll officially say it.
All right.
Anyway, let's get back to Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
Anthony.
Anthony, who was the last Nebraska player to be named to the all-tournament team at the College World Series?
Will Bolt.
It was not Will Bolt. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia rolling along here on this last Tuesday of the month. Going to have a busy show again for you tomorrow, talking more about the College World Series and Loper Sports and our final Loper Link of the year. Call now, 888-455-3776 if you'd like a chance to win a $25 gift card to Troutman's Quality Meats. Who are we chatting with?
Keith.
Keith, who was the last Nebraska player named to the all-tournament team?
Was it Buckman?
Not Buckman, no. Try back. They are picking out some Huskers, though. We are getting closer. If you're throwing out Buckman, you're getting closer.
Well, Buckman, he was not going to name a first name. He probably knew the first name, but after the Jeff Gordon thing, it wasn't worth it. You know what I mean? You're kind of like Steve Harvey is on Family Feud. You do not want a bad answer here.
Let's stay with the phone lines here with Troutman's Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Oh, good Lord. It's unbelievable. One more time, and then we might have to find a new question. Who are we chatting with?
This is Jeff.
All right, Jeff, who was the last Husker named to the all-tournament team at the College World Series?
I'll try Jeff Christie.
Oh, man, that is such an excellent guess, but it's not right. Try back, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. I'm gonna start doing a two-part question now. That's what we're going to do. Who are we chatting with?
That's Keith.
Do you know the answer to the original question? Who was the last all-tournament team player from Nebraska?
Well, I was going to take another guess, but...
Yeah, take a guess.
Daniel Bruce?
Nope, but now we go to Part B. We go to Part B. Nebraska won one game in that 2005 tournament. Who'd they beat?
Cal State Fullerton.
No, not Cal State Fullerton. Try back. Try back. I can't tell you. We're on the air. I can't tell you, Jimmy. I can't tell you. You got that one right, though. You got that part right. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. It didn't go away on the first guess this year. So give us a call now. Who are we chatting with?
This is Dean.
All right, Dean, you get another guess at the original question. Who was the last Nebraska player named to the all-tournament team in Omaha?
I still do not know that one, Douglas.
Okay. Well, then let's go to part B. Who Nebraska went 1-2 in that tournament. Who'd they beat?
I'm going to guess Texas.
It was not Texas. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. As the show continues with Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, who will be crowned Smart Guy of the Day? Let's go back to the phone lines. The original question, who was the last Nebraska player named to the all-tournament team at the College World Series? Who was it?
How about Andy Gertz?
Andy Gertz is correct. That is the man. How long did it take you to look that up?
About 5 minutes.
Who are we chatting with?
This is Ben in North Platte.
All right, buddy. Hang on the line. We got a $25 gift card coming your way. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
And the other one was Arizona State. Nebraska split with Arizona State and lost to Florida in that NCAA baseball tournament. So there you go. 2005.
Yeah, beat
Arizona. Doesn't seem that long.
Beat Arizona State and then came back and got beat by them later on. Yeah.
Well, that'll bring to an end this Doug and Daddy show. It felt like a first day after a holiday.
This is my first Tuesday ever. Did you know that, Doug? First time I've ever been on a Tuesday trivia.
What'd you think on Tuesday?
I don't know. I don't know what I thought.
Well, you knew the second part.
Well, I knew it was Arizona State, but I did not. I for some reason, I wrote down Will Bolt.
Yeah, we had a Will Bolt guess.
Did we have? I mean, that's what I wrote down the very first.
Yeah.
But
Andy Gertz was the correct answer, and Ben from North Platte knocks it out of the park. Tomorrow on the show, our local link, plus we'll catch up with Steve Pivovar of the Omaha World Herald to talk more about the College World Series. Want to thank our guests today, which included more College World Series talk, and of course, Phil Stanton of CollegeBaseballInsider.com and Bill Carlin of Adams Central Coaching in the Shrine Bowl. I want to thank them for joining us as well. Jimmy, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, I'm just glad I didn't say Alex Gordon won the Indianapolis 500. That would have been a bad move.
We'll
thank you too, Doug.
Folks. Bye-bye.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!